Hey Valerie, thanks so much for joining today. It's so nice to flip the tables and have you on my podcast this time. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so exciting to be here, and I'm really excited to flip the tables too. I'm usually on the other side, so it's awesome to get to chat
Yeah.
with you.
I always find it interesting when you are interviewing a podcaster because sometimes at least I get confused about which side I'm on, and then it
Yeah.
comes out funny. But I'm super happy to help to have you on the show. So why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about yourself with our audience today?
Absolutely. Well, my name is Valerie Moses. I work full-time in community engagement and public relations for a credit union in Central Florida. And when I'm not running the show there, I have my very own podcast called Wellness and Wanderlust and a blog by the same name. I started out more on the blogging side. I've always been a writer, and it started out as a college advice blog, but it has since transitioned over to talk more about small steps we can take in our wellness to really transform our lives and make major change through just those small, simple habits.
I love that. So, what motivated you to start the college advice podcast or blog in the beginning?
In the beginning, I was finding that when I first started college, I was really having a very easy transition. I liked being in college a lot more than high school, and I just found really my footing there. I felt like I'd met my people and was really comfortable with, I think, the discomfort of getting, joining that new environment. And I've always been really passionate about helping others, and so I wanted to share what I was learning as I was going. And as a writer, I also just wanted to have a blog. At first, it was very much college advice, but also really anything that came to mind. So I would write about pop culture. Sometimes I would talk about the worst boyfriends in history and on television and things like that. So it was very, very diverse topics, but really just anything that kind of came to mind, and really focusing on that college advice for a once a month feature called the Freshman 15 that I loved
Oh, I
doing.
love that. Yeah.
It was so fun. And I continued that feature long after I graduated. But several years later, I found that I wasn't quite as passionate anymore on the college advice side. I wasn't in college anymore. When I was in grad school, it was a very different experience. And so I found that my interests and priorities really started to shift from there.
And I love what you just said because I think that is so critical, is this shift in what you were doing based off of your loss of passion or interest in the blogging side or the Freshman 15 side, right? So I think that that's something that as we get older, and I don't know if you've had this experience as well, is that we forget sometimes how important that passion is, that motive that becomes our motivator in life in terms of what we're doing. And so I'd love for you, and I think some people are afraid to recognize it because then they may have to do something about it, right? And so have you had to deal with that in your, I'll call it adult life or post-college life? And if so, how have you dealt with, how have you handled it?
I think that's such a great question. And it really is a struggle, I think, when you've been doing something for so long and you feel that everyone's expecting you to do it. It has to get done. It's the number one thing. And it's on everybody's mind, of course. It's the top priority that they have too, even though we're all focused on what is going on in our individual lives. But I have definitely been guilty of putting that pressure on myself to continue something long after the expiration date. And I mean, the quality of the work suffers. It's not resonating with people anymore. And I found that while I was still doing a lot of college advice in my full-time job, our credit union that I work for is really engaged on a college campus. And so I still do talk to college students from a kind of a different lens, but I just wasn't finding that passion when it was in my creative work. It was like a very different, it was a different perspective that I was coming from that I just didn't really, it wasn't translating to the page anymore, the passion that I had before. And so
Yeah.
I kind of just did some self reflection here and there and realized what are the things that are actually bringing me joy to write about, because at the time I wasn't really niching down into one particular topic and I still was kind of focusing on other things too. And I found that the topics that really spoke to me were wellness at the time, because I was kind of in the midst of, we're always in the midst of our wellness journeys, but I was very much at the beginning. Yeah. And kind of going through that. And then also the wanderlust side, it was pre-pandemic. And I was finding that I live in an area that's about 3 hours from where I'd grown up. And we're in a very touristy area. So I'm in Orlando. So we're very well known for the theme parks and Disney. All of the things. Yeah. But there were so many hidden gems over the years that I was hearing about that I would always say, oh, I'd love to do that, but I just never did it. And so I really focused the blog toward actually doing some of the things I had set out to do all this time and kind of writing about these experiences and shedding light on it for someone who's coming to this area that maybe wants to do something outside of the parks, or someone who lives here that doesn't know that this is in their backyard. And so those were really the areas that were bringing me a lot more joy. And I sat down and thought about it and I realized I can talk about college advice anytime. If it is something that really brings me joy again, I can shift the topics. It's not my full-time job. So I do have that flexibility in you know, what I'm able to write about and talk about. But I ultimately knew that an engaged audience, the people that were going to care about what I had to say, they were going to care a lot more if I cared about what I had to say. And
absolutely.
So I kind of had to give myself that flexibility.
I love that. And one of the things that I've actually noticed in your more recent episodes, at least, it's been focused very much on mental wellness, right? Yeah. So is that something that you've been personally working on? Is that one of your core values as well, in terms of how you pursue your passions as well as how you make your decisions in life?
Absolutely. I've always had a lot of physical wellness struggles. Growing up, I had sinus issues, had a life-changing surgery at 5 years old. I've never fully known what it felt like to be 100% well and have everything going right at once with that. And so that's kind of how that pursuit had started. And I was always experimenting there. And the farther I've like really been diving into this journey over the years, the more I've learned that it has so much more to do with the mental and the spiritual as well. And there was so much I just wasn't nurturing. In my early 20s, I was in a very toxic relationship. And at that time, I was also very early into this journey of kind of experimenting with the types of foods I was eating to see how they made me feel. And so it was at a time where I was starting to notice how my body was feeling and starting to try to understand how to connect with and trust my body. And then all of a sudden, I'm in this situation that doesn't feel mentally safe, and really kind of changed a lot of my relationships at the time and really affected so much. And I didn't understand. I'd always kind of said that I would feel certain emotions in my chest or in my stomach or things like that. And suddenly, as I'm diving into this journey more, I'm learning that there is a legitimacy to that. And that's a very real thing. And so as I've started to learn, you know, I'll have sometimes blood work that doesn't come out really the way it should. And when I've talked to a doctor, they've determined, well, what was going on at the time that this blood work was taken. And it turned out it was because of a traumatic event or because of, you know, something going on. And so really kind of trying to understand how the experiences we're having in life, whether they're physically, you know, it's the physical stuff that we're putting into our bodies and the exercise that we're doing. Sometimes we're putting on weight because of traumatic experiences. Sometimes our bodies are just doing very strange things in the blood system, you know, in our blood work. And so it's really important to be kind of nurturing that side and understanding ourselves a little more. And so the mental wellness piece is something you are ultimately like, you are the person that you're going to be with. And so really trying to kind of get comfortable with that and start to, yeah, just continue to nurture that relationship. I think that's why that's been such a powerful piece for me. Plus, I think we've been through a very traumatic few years with the pandemic and so much social unrest. We have a lot going on in the world. There's always a lot going on in the world, but I think that it has been a very challenging few years. And so really trying to dive into how do we mentally prepare for these types of, you know, these times in our lives, and how do we adjust? How do we take care of ourselves in these times, aside from what we're eating and how much we're exercising? While those are very important things.
Yeah. And I really can appreciate what you've been talking about with this mind, body, and spirit connection. And I can really appreciate the journey that you've been on as well, because I think that so many of us often forget that our physical body is very much connected to our spirit and to our mind. And that, you know, I think sometimes we dismiss what we can't see, and so we put a lot of emphasis on the physical body, but yet it's not just the physical body. There's, to your point, there's so much more to it. And, you know, I think it's also interesting that you mentioned the blood work and the doctors, because I'm much older than you. And so, you know, going to, at my age, I have to go to the doctors and get my hormones checked or my blood work checked. And it's funny because they come back normal, but yet at the same time, I know personally how my body is reacting. And so there's also that, you know, kind of inconsistency sometimes between what we know is true for our body versus what other people are telling us is normal. Right. And so yeah, it's not an easy journey, but it is so important in order for you to really, for all of us really, to be able to live a more wellness lifestyle. But there's one thing that I think I really would love to touch on more too, is this spiritual aspect, because oftentimes I think it's more accepted now that we have a mind and body connection, but the spiritual connection is something that I think is evolving as we're talking, right? It's becoming more commonly known and accepted. But what do you have, a spiritual practice? Do you have a morning routine? How has that made a difference? How have, you know, any of these practices made a difference in your life? And how have you seen it shift in terms of perhaps like in your pursuit of knowing what your passion is, or having the motivation to move forward with something, or, you know, being able to move past the fears when it comes, right?
Yeah, it's challenging. I think the spiritual side, it's something that, other than maybe, you know, organized religions, we weren't really taught. If you weren't raised in one of those, or if you're not part of one of those, then we sometimes don't understand, well, how do I integrate this into my life in a way that's meaningful for me? And so it's definitely something I find that when I am really consistent with my morning practices and with meditation and mindfulness, all of the other pieces fall into place so much better. And I find that I'm making better decisions with my food. I'm speaking nicer to myself, but it's still sometimes one of those roadblocks, because it's a harder thing to put on a to-do list of complete my spiritual practice for the day. And I'm very, you know, a Virgo, very earth list minded. And so it's a challenge, but it's something that I am trying to incorporate a bit more. And so I actually choose a word every year for my word of the year. And this year, my word is intention, and really trying to bring everything I do back to that. And my biggest intention for the year is getting back to basics in terms of the spiritual, mental, and physical. And so there are times where I'm up late at night and I'm thinking there are still 50 more things on the to-do list, and just kind of coming back to that intention of, you know, sleep in that case, like that is what I need, is to get back to that. And is the thing that I'm doing on this list, is this personally meaningful to me, or is this something that it can wait till the morning and it's not really that important? And something that I did a couple of years ago, I took a strengths assessment. It was the strengths profile, where they look at what strengths you have, that how much energy they bring you, how much you use them, and how good you are. And that's another thing that kind of comes back into that values set, is how am I embodying these? And when I feel that sense of unfulfillment, because I think sometimes you're just generally feeling stressed out and overwhelmed and not really sure why. And so I'm really trying to give a name to that and really trying to reflect and take that time to think about, well, am I embodying these things I really care about? Are the things on my to-do list for the day things that I'm going to get joy out of, or do they tie into those things? Maybe it's not 100%. Like, did I want to go to the dentist yesterday? No, but was it really good for me to get that in? Absolutely. Like 100%, no regrets on that. But, you know, really trying to dive into, and something that I learned from that strengths assessment was that there were some things that really bring me joy, that really fill my cup, that I'm just not doing, that I just didn't give myself the time for. And I found that it really tied into what I was feeling unfulfilled in. And so those for me were creativity and legacy, feeling like the work I was doing was making a difference. And I really now try to think about when I'm making a decision on, am I going to take this on or should I do this or this today? I really try to think about if it's going to fulfill those values that I have that make me feel like the best version of myself and that really bring me that joy so I can better serve. And so that's something that really I come back to. Meditation and mindfulness is something that I kind of ebb and flow in that, but that is something that I'm trying to start reconnecting with a little bit more, even just being more aware of my body and doing those body scans, taking the deep breaths and really focusing on that throughout the day.
Yeah. And breath work, I think we forget so like often we forget to breathe. And and I think people think it's silly when I say something like that, because it's like, well, if you don't breathe, you're dead. Right. But I think that people don't realize until they sit down and really practice true breath work and the exercises that come with it, just how shallow our breathing is. So our body is constantly in this flight process because we're breathing like this, you know, like these like really shallow breaths. Whereas like we should be taking these long inhales and long exhales, and it makes such a big difference once you start to practice it. And I don't, you know, like I set reminders for myself in my calendar, like every half an hour, breathe. And I think, you know, in busy days, it just, I don't pay attention to it, but there are times when it does hit me and it's like, oh wait, yeah, I have to breathe.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh wait, it makes such a big difference in terms of like mental clarity and strategy moving forward. So that's awesome. So your podcast, Wellness and Wonderlust, is in the top 3% globally, according to Listen Notes, which is absolutely amazing. And so what advice do you have for someone who is interested in starting a podcast? And, you know, is it necessary to have it all before you start, or is it just better to start? And, you know, I know you mentioned that you also have a corporate job. So how do you balance between the two?
That's a great question. I went for a very long time of, yes, I'm going to start a podcast. I probably wanted to start one for about 2 years before I did. And so I officially started September of 2020, just because with the pandemic, there was no social life. So it definitely gave me some time back. But what I did was I knew like I can't start tomorrow because there was just, I was overwhelmed with the details. And I think it's a lot easier to start one than we think, because there are a lot of great resources out there and many of them are free. What I did was I actually came up with a date kind of arbitrarily of like, if I were to start by say October 1st, and it was, I think, August at the time, what are the things I'm going to need to do leading up to that? And so I thought, well, I need to get a microphone. And I made this list of the microphone, figuring out my hosting, figuring out how I wanted to do my interviews, and even just not so much like coming up with a schedule of interviews, but just figuring out like, who would I want to talk to? What do I want to talk about? Do I want to talk? Because occasionally I'll do a solo. It's a little scary for me. I love interviews, but I really thought about that and kind of wrote it out. And so that was really helpful for me. And then kind of checking those things off the list, I actually was able to get it done in a much shorter amount of time once it was written down. And I think I started like mid-September of that year. So it really only took me about a month and a half to prep for it. My microphone came the day that I ordered it. Thank you, Amazon. But I think that there, it really gets a lot easier once we kind of write out a plan for ourselves. I think some people really are great at just starting, like the microphone is here, we're going to get started. For me, I needed to have a little bit more of a plan. But I think that if you write the things down, you get a lot less of the analysis paralysis and you can get started. So for me, that was getting organized. And then also because I do get very overwhelmed with all the details, I can get easily distracted from different responsibilities in life. And of course, with the job, I really had to think about, okay, how am I going to use technology to make my life a little bit easier? And so using Calendly, for example, the two of us used to schedule the interviews, that made life a lot easier rather than us going back and forth and trying to figure out days and times. And using Asana, I love Asana for project management, of just listing out for every episode that, hey, did I send an email out to my guest? Where am I in the process? Did they write a book that I'm reading? And, you know, where am I at on that? And so it kind of just helped me get organized. I create these templates for myself to just organize my schedule a little bit better. I also do try to be mindful with my work calendar and with events because I am involved in a few community organizations. And so thinking about, okay, if I have a big fundraiser for this organization, making sure that I don't have interviews scheduled around that time period. And it can sound so silly, but sometimes it's really easy to forget to block that time off for yourself.
Oh, yes.
And
I mess up my schedule all the time. So yes, I do
all the time.
I understand.
Yeah. I've had times where I accidentally double booked interviews like the same night and I ended up doing it. It actually worked out that night. I think I must've been very on that day and I was very much ready to extrovert, but it can be hard when you're not on top of that. And so for me, the technology piece is a huge plus. And again, just breaking it into smaller chunks and thinking about, okay, like where am I in the process right now? And because there are, depending on how in depth you get, I do try to edit with my show. And so that often takes me the most amount of time because I'm not a professional podcast producer and I don't outsource for that. Maybe someday. And so really trying to make that time for it. I also love to set timers. So sometimes if I'm really overwhelmed, but I'm like, I know I have 15 minutes that I can work on editing or I can start writing up some questions or go through the emails with that. I really do try to use those little pockets of time instead of maybe the Netflixing that
right.
I used to do
or
a lot more of.
Or the social scroll, right? That we're so guilty of.
Yep. Very much.
I love it. Well, congratulations again on the success of your podcast. It
Thank
is so
you.
Well deserved with just the quality of information that you have on the show. And so I have one last question for you, which is, what is the truth that you want to share about success? Or what is your truth that you have on success?
I think my truth for success is really trying to know myself and knowing what my values are and just making as many of my decisions in alignment with what those values are and with what is truly important to me. I think for me, that value and what I try to do with my show especially, but even in my career, I really want people to feel seen and for people to feel understood and to bring that to the table and to bring their stories to the table. And so anytime I'm either struggling with making a decision or just overwhelmed with everything going on, I really try to bring it back to, is this in alignment and is it going to be worth it in the end? Because a lot of the time it is. And I think, you know, kind of tying back into the title of your show, if I'm being authentically myself, if I'm doing what it is that I know is right, or at least that I feel is right, then I'm moving in the right direction. And even if it ends up being a setback, I can still learn from it and move forward. But just to be able to be proud of myself for what I'm doing is like, if those decisions are in that alignment.
Yeah, that is so important because you'll never look back with regret. And I think that's the one thing that kills forward movement.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on today's show. And for those who are interested in following your podcast, where can they go to find it?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me,
and
congratulations on season three of your show. You are incredible. You can find Wellness and Wanderlust really wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you're listening to our show right now. And I'm also on Instagram at Wellness and Wanderlust blog. You can find me on LinkedIn, Valerie Moses, and my website is wellnessandwanderlust.net, and we have the episodes on there too. But I'm so excited to hopefully connect with some of you. And I'm so glad to be a part of your show and just honored to get to chat with you today.
Thanks, Valerie. It's so much fun to have this conversation with you. I know we had so much fun in our initial conversation, yes, which is why I wanted to continue with it. So you guys, all of her information will be in the show notes. So don't worry if you didn't catch that. You can just go to the show notes and click on what interests you. Make sure to follow and subscribe to her podcast. You won't regret it. There's so much good info. And so stay tuned until the next episode. Bye, everybody.